Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
With us on the line now is Jamie McDonald. He's a world record holding adventurer and author. He's one of the UK's top motivational speakers and the 2019 winner of the Pride of Britain Award. He's the founder of the Superhero Foundation, a charity that supports families in need and helps them raise funds for treatments and therapies that aren't available on the NHS. His follow-up to the best-selling Adventure Man, Anyone Can Be a Superhero, is Adventure Man Running America, about his 5,500-mile trek across the USA. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Wow, Hannah, that was quite the introduction.
It's all true, though, isn't it?
Wow, it feels a bit much, really. I'm just a normal bloke from Gloucester, so...
You're not normal, I'm telling you now.
Well, no, you're probably not even normal, actually. Probably a bit of an idiot, really, Hannah.
No, you're an absolute superhero. I mean, you really are. What you're doing and why you're doing it as well. You've raised, with all the different things that you've done, all the different challenges, challenging yourself, you've raised over £1 million for charity, which is just incredible. So well done.
Thank you.
So when have you always been a runner, or did you decide you wanted to start running in order to raise money for charity? How did it all come about?
No, I mean, I've never been a runner, but I'd say it was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I was saving up to put a deposit on a house, and I saved up £20,000, heck of a lot of money back then. And even now, I'd say, And then I went to go and sign the papers to put the deposit on this house. And then right at the last minute, I just got this gut feeling in my stomach where I was like, something's wrong. I don't know if you ever get that gut feeling, Hannah.
Yes.
And in the end, I just had to listen to it for the first time in my life. I was like 24 years old and I tuned into it. And I just thought, do I really want this? Like, maybe there's more. And I ended up then going back to the Children's Hospital where I spent most of my life. And I used to have a rare spinal condition where sometimes I couldn't move my legs and I had immune deficiency. So I was really, really sick. So I spent most of my life in hospital. And I guess for the first time, I was reconnecting with that. And when I left the hospital and seen the difference the charity was doing with all the kids there, I kind of just felt like there must be more. So instead of buying the house, I got my money and I bought a secondhand bike for £50 out of the newspaper. It was one of the worst bikes ever. Like, I'm not even kidding. And it was terrible. And then I ended up pedaling from Bangkok all the way back to Gloucester, back to the Children's Hospital to give back 14,000 miles and over 25 different countries.
Wow. And what was that like? I mean, that quite a journey. Completely on your own, were you?
Yeah, on my own. It was all great in the first, you know, Thailand, you know, Vietnam, Laos, these backpacker places. And then I actually hit China and, you know, suddenly no one could speak a word of English. I was going over these mountains. It was desolate. And then I started to think, oh, okay, this wasn't really what I thought it would be. And and that's when you start to dig, isn't it? You start to dig deep. So I guess I've never, at this point, never really ran or cycled, but that was the start of the adventures, really.
So what made you ditch the bike and decide to do this kind of thing on foot?
Well, after that, what got me into running is after that challenge, everyone kept coming up to me and Gloucester said, Jamie, like, what are you doing next? And I'm thinking, what do you mean, what am I doing next? I'm just My bum's been on a saddle for a whole year doing 40,000 miles. My bum needs a holiday. And so I actually got myself a visa for Canada to do exactly that, go on holiday, be a backpacker. And then the hospital kind of invited me back to show me where all the donations went. And call it a coincidence, Hannah, but they ended up raising £20,000 on that cycling challenge. And that was the same amount that I saved up for the house that I didn't buy. And they ended up building a new school playroom with the donations. And then on my way out, there was a load of kids holding a sign that said, "Keep going, Jamie."
Oh, wow.
And so I got home, and my visa for Canada came in at this point, and then I thought, bugger it, maybe I should keep going. So I jumped off the toilet and I said, "Mum, Dad, I'm gonna run across Canada." You know, I never ran before in my life. I didn't even know what I was doing. And my mum, she said, "No, I don't think that's a good idea, Jamie." And then my dad said, "Wow, that's brilliant, son. That's exactly what you should be doing." And so, yeah, within 2 weeks, I then flew out, never ran before, and I started my attempt to run across Canada. And so that's what got me into running.
Gosh. And from, I mean, it sounds kind of unreal for someone who's never run before to just go and run across Canada. I mean, it sounds utter madness and impossible, quite frankly. I mean, for someone who hasn't run before to just suddenly go and do a marathon would be fairly silly and possibly, you know, impossible. How did you just suddenly do it?
I remember when I was younger, Hannah, and you know, when I started to become a bit better, I was really sick. But once I started to move, you know, like dogs, when you throw a ball for a dog and it's like, "I've got to go."
Yeah.
I was like that. And you know, I guess I was really lucky that over the space of a year, all my symptoms kind of disappeared. So I feel like I kind of almost took that energy into Canada. And I just thought, you know what, I'll work it out. You know, I'll just go. Of course, once you start running it didn't really work out. My foot ended up cracking it within 2 weeks of running, and I had to get a bone scan, and I thought it was the end of the adventure. And but then, you know, you fathoming it out, and there was a lovely Canadian on that adventure that ended up buying me a pram, because I was wearing a backpack, obviously. How else are you supposed to run? But this guy said, "Look, I think you should use a pram." So then I threw all my stuff into that. His name is Caesar, my pram. So he's like my Wilson.
Right, yes.
And so that pram is kept. He ended up going across Canada with me. And then, of course, what you spoke about, which is the recent book, and that was across America. And I kept Caesar. He keeps going somehow.
Oh, fabulous. So you push the pram while you're running, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And it's simple, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah. Is it? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, there's no need to make it too complicated. I mean, you run, you know, you try and make the marathon every day, and you eat, and you do all that you need to. Yeah. Yeah. You just keep it simple.
So you're doing roughly a marathon every day. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, near enough. Yeah.
Wow. And do you walk at any point? You must do a lot of walking here, or are you running the whole time?
No, it's really important, because I guess I ask people to give. And so it's really important that when I say I'm going to set out on the mission, that I do every inch running. I always run. And the thing is with these adventures, it's all visa dependent. So, you know, across Canada, I only got a 1 year visa, and the same in America, I only got a 1 year visa. And so it's kind of good, healthy pressure, really. It's because if you didn't have the 1 year visa, you'd probably never get out and run, you know. So you kind of need that healthy pressure just to keep getting up to make sure you make it the other side. And then I navigate my way and kind of visit children's hospitals en route.
Wow, it's seriously impressive. I mean, how many times during your journey do you kind of wake up in the morning and think, "Oh God, I've got to go running again today. Why did I agree to do this? I just want to go for a swim or sit on the beach or something."
Yeah, I mean, it is a daily process. The moment you open your eyes, Because I don't, have you ran before much, Hannah?
Well, bizarrely, I've literally started running in the last few weeks. I'm in my fourth week of running, so
Amazing.
But the idea of doing a marathon just seems like an impossible thing, never mind one every day.
Yeah, well, as you keep running, it does seem to progress quite quickly, and but I think you probably get it when you do a run the next day, you really feel it. You know, you wake up and it's like, oh God, yeah, I can feel that. And so it's like that every day. You know, you think, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And then somehow you just get out and you start running. The first few miles are always like the worst. You know, it's like, you know, it's all creaking and aching. But then you loosen up. You know, I remember how to do this. Come on, let's rock it and let's go again.
So it does get easier as the day goes on, does it?
It does, yeah. For the middle of the day, it does. But then as it gets towards the end of the marathon, then it starts to become that grind and that slog, and then you've got to just keep pushing. And I remember there was one part that was really monumental in running. And as you can probably tell, and I'm like the worst planner ever, but it's a gift, you know, as well as a bad side that gets me into trouble. But I hit Arizona in the hottest time of the year. It was one of the hottest places on earth. It was hitting 55-60 degrees Celsius. And but the good thing is, when you're naive and you're not a planner, is I always say I'm the most adaptable, because I think, well, you're the person that's bugger this all up, so you need to adapt now and just do what you can to get through. So I started to run at night, and I for 3 months I was running, I barely seen daylight. I would just run through darkness in the Arizonian desert, just pitch black. And and then there was this one night where I stayed in this cafe to get the aircon, because even at 10 p.m. at night, it's like 40 degrees out there. But she said, you got to go. So I said, okay. And I knew it was a marathon stretch to the next little town, and it was nothing in between. So I went out and I started going. I was feeling really good. You know, I was 10 miles in, and then I saw this car. And I hadn't seen this, you know, like any cars all night. So it drove past me, and then it turned around and came towards me. And I thought, great. You know, it's like a human.
Maybe
they want to say
person.
Hi. Yeah. And so it must have been, you know, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something. And so this woman, you know, pulls up next to me, and the window goes down. And it was a woman, and she said, and she was acting all awkward. And I said, you're all right, love, you okay? And she said, well, I just don't know whether to tell you or not. And I said, I'm sure it'd be fine. And she said, well, are you running that way? Yeah, I said, yeah, I'm running that way. She said, okay, well, I think it's best to let you know that a mile down the road where you're running, we just spotted a mountain lion.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So then what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, in Gloucester, we don't have mountain lions.
No.
Right? So I said to her, what does that actually mean? And she said, I'm not really sure. And I said, well, I'm really not sure either. And she said, right, well, I think it was best to let you know. Okay, well, good luck. Bye.
Oh, no. So you kept going.
Well, you've got the choice, haven't you, then, Hannah? I was thinking, right, well, what do I do? Do I go back? I go back to this tiny cafe. There's nothing there, but it will be closed. I'm thinking, that's not really going to do me any good. And eventually I'm going to have to run this stretch, whatever, because that's the mission. I've got to run every inch. Mm-hmm. So I thought, right, I'll get going. So I grabbed myself a penknife. And I think the penknife would have done way more damage to me than the mountain lion. And so then I got going. And then I don't know if you ever listened to the desert at night, especially when you know the situation. It was like every single noise wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
So I had my head torch on. I'm looking here, looking there. And an hour went by. And then eventually I saw something in the sand on the side of the road. I thought, what's that? And I thought, no, it can't be. And as I got closer, I shined my torch on it, and there was a massive tarantula.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, that's not what I expected you to say. Okay, tarantula.
No, yeah, no, Aaron, forget about the mountain lion. I'm petrified of spiders.
Right.
So I put my foot up to kind of, and then film it to show the perspective of it just really quickly. And as I put my foot down, it must have felt the vibrations. And then the tarantula started to run at me. And yeah, so I, exactly that. I screamed my head off and I was like, I'm getting out of here. So I started to sprint. And on the roadside, suddenly another tarantula popped up
and another one.
Suddenly there was hundreds of them all lined up across the road. So I'm going off my rocker now. I'm literally running like Usain Bolt. At least I felt it like it anyway. Yeah. And then eventually I made it to this little town, into a little village, and I went straight into a cafe, and I probably looked a mess because I wear my superhero suit and dust all over it. And these three blokes go, "Oh, you look like you've had a rough night." And I thought, "Wouldn't you like to know?" Anyway, I told them about the mountain lion. They thought it was hilarious. And then, of course, I shared about the tarantulas, and one of the guys said, "Wow, Jamie," he said, "you know, there's people like going all around the world trying to find these nests and these like monsoons when they swoop in of all these tarantulas." He said, "You are really lucky to come across that."
And did you feel lucky?
Yeah, so that's a story for another day, really.
Oh, amazing, amazing. So did you ever see the lion?
I didn't, thankfully.
Oh, phew, yes. Yeah. Yes. Wow. So as well as being really, really hot in the Amazonian desert then, where else were you? Were there cold parts as well?
So across America, it didn't get too cold, but I ended up... Towards the end of the run, the winter started to set in, and I was just running really hard to make sure I kind of beat the winter, really. But yeah, there was this, I ended up making it to the Rocky Balboa steps in Philadelphia, yeah. And it was all snowing, and so that was quite a magical moment. I mean, I'm such a Rocky Balboa fan as a kid, so yeah.
Oh, great stuff. So how long did it take then from beginning to end of this America trip?
Yeah, it took a whole year in the end.
Gosh. And running a marathon every day?
Yeah, it worked out 210 marathons in the end in the year.
My goodness. So when you finished and you came home, did people kind of go, "So, Jamie, what are you doing next again?"
Yeah. And I can't actually repeat what I want to say to them.
No, I bet.
it's like, is that not enough for you? You know, do you want more?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to... but I guess I have had an adventure since then, and I've met the love of my life, and we now have a new baby.
Oh, congratulations. How lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Her name is Storm. And she is an absolute storm every single night, especially at 3 a.m. So I think I almost feel like it's our fault for calling her Storm, you know, but
yes.
we had to give her a superhero name.
Oh, amazing stuff. How wonderful. So how old is she now?
She's 9 months now.
Oh, so I bet you're not going anywhere for a while.
No, we just went on a little holiday to Lanzarote, and I can honestly say what's supposed to be now a standard, you know, quick relaxing holiday is now a hardcore resilience adventure with a baby. so I just had no idea how hard it is. But, you know, I've still got Caesar the pram. So it's just a case of waiting for the moment where she's just about old enough that we can throw her in Caesar and then she can go across the country with us.
Oh, wonderful. Well, and would your wife run with you?
Wow. It's funny you say that, because Anna, actually, my wife, Anna, she makes me look like an absolute wussy. So, She's the girl guiding ambassador in the UK, and her last adventure, she ran 100 marathons through Britain, but she'd done the whole thing, wait for it, barefoot.
No way!
Yeah, like no shoes, no socks. Yeah, so she's hardcore.
It sounds like you two were made for each other.
Yeah. I've met my match.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, I mean, I can only imagine that the adventure that the three of you could get up to running across the country. It would just be, there's another book in you yet, I reckon, Jamie. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, if people want to find out about your latest adventure, it's called Running America, and it's by Jamie McDonald, who we've been chatting to. I know that 10% of all royalties from the book go to the Superhero Foundation, which is brilliant. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great chatting with you and hearing about all your adventures.
Oh, thank you very much. I've loved it.
Take care.
Ta-da, bye.